If you're renting and wondering if buying a home is even possible in today's market, this episode is for you. In case we haven't met, I'm Kat Rozanski, your real estate connection guru and the host of Keys Across America. As a licensed realtor, I'm passionate about helping people across the country achieve their dreams of building wealth through homeownership. Whether you're buying, selling, investing, or relocating, I connect you with trusted professionals to make this process seamless and successful. Today, I'm joined by Haley Shams, a seasoned mortgage broker who's helped countless renters navigate the financial side of homeownership. We're here to debunk myths, share actionable tips, and give you the confidence to take the first step toward owning your own home. Welcome to the show, Haley.
Thank you, Kat. I am so excited to be here. Helping people go from renters to homeowners is seriously one of my favorite things to do. And I'm looking forward to breaking those myths, like you talked about, and explaining how just achievable homeownership can really be.
There are so many misconceptions about buying a home. So today I want to touch on three of the biggest myths that keep renters stuck. Let's start with the most common one. I need a 20% down payment to buy a home. That's a lot of money.
That is a huge one, and that myth is completely outdated. So, while 20% down used to be the norm, that is no longer a requirement for home buyers today. There are so many available loan programs out there. For example, an FHA loan, you can buy with as little as 3.5% down. Conventional loans, first-time buyers are 3% down minimum. Repeat buyers would be 5% down. And if you are a veteran, active duty military, surviving spouse, you may also qualify for a VA loan, which allows you to purchase with 0% down and not have that PMI private mortgage insurance.
That's all such good news for renters. I remember when I bought my first home, I thought the same thing. I had to have 20% down. And when I found out I only needed 3.5% down, I did some math and went, I can go shopping. So I started serious house shopping. Well, I of course missed that important step of talking to the lender first. So when I started getting serious and ready to write offers, I later discovered that I was shopping $200,000 above what I could afford. So oops. Step one, talk to the lender, figure out what you can really afford. All right, let's go to the second myth. My credit score, it's not good enough to qualify. What's your advice for people who think this?
Yeah, this is another good one that I come across very often, and often it holds people back unnecessarily. While it is true that a higher credit score can get you a better interest rate depending on the loan program, you do not need perfect credit to buy a home. For example, FHA loans, you can buy with as low as 580. Some lenders we work with go down to the mid-low 500s for that type of loan. Conventional are accessible into the mid-600s credit score. So right now I'm actually helping a buyer. She currently owns a home with her brother. She's doing a cash out HE loan second mortgage because that first one was done back in like 2020 when rates were super low. So they don't want to touch that. But we're cashing out her equity. She helped put the down payment and she is using that to pay off all of her debt and put a down payment on her next house. She has a 650 credit score and she's going to be just fine. And just think of how much more her credit's going to increase after she pays off all that debt. So there are some steps that can be taken beforehand, if you feel like your credit is not exactly where you want it to be, such as paying down debt, for example, removing collection accounts. Now, this is not just disputing the collection. We actually have you call the collection agency and work it out where they will remove the collection account from your credit report, as well as, clarifying any errors on the report. So, at a generic level, I can help guide clients through improving credit. But if it was more specific, I do refer out to a HUD-approved credit company that is, they have nonprofit credit counselors that are mortgage focused and help my clients achieve their goals by starting with the credit first.
Wow, that's great to hear. Before I got into this industry, I honestly thought you had to have a 700 to even get approved. Nonetheless, being able to get away with 600 or even possibly some fives, depending on the program, which is fabulous. All right. Well, the third myth I hear a lot, I can't afford the monthly mortgage payment, especially not with these interest rates.
Yes, I'm not gonna lie to this is definitely a challenging time for first-time home buyers in today's market. Owning a home already comes with additional costs like HOA dues if you're buying a condo, property taxes, homeowners insurance. And although you don't pay those as a renter, you are currently gonna build up equity in your house. So that higher payment that you're feeling, you are tucking that away into your real estate savings account. When you rent, your interest rate's actually 100% when you think about it, because you're never going to see that money back. And while homeownership does have some more upfront costs, when you look at a long-term rent versus buy analysis, it's actually more expensive to rent in the long run. And I'm going to use my own personal example for this. My husband and I bought a condo back in 2018 for $465,000. 7 years later, 2025, we have not done any renovations, nothing to the property except for just to maintain it, and we could probably sell it for about 740. Had we rented, we would have spent over $277,000 in those 7 years on rent with nothing to show for it. So instead, we've built nearly that exact same amount in equity, and even though it was a little more expensive when we first got in, I would truly call that worth every penny of the investment.
That is seriously such a good point. Another thing to consider is your mortgage payment may fluctuate slightly over the years because of, like we said, homeowners insurance, property tax, and/or HOA fees. But your principal and interest will remain the same month after month for 15 or 30 years, whereas your rent is going to increase every single year.
Exactly. And I actually calculated the difference if my husband and I, if our rent would have increased over that 7 year period of time, if it would have increased a low, let's call it 3% a year, we would have not paid 277. It would have been over $300,000 that we would have paid in rent, considering that it's going up. And those numbers are just staggering. And I just want to shift gears really quick because there is a way to make that higher monthly mortgage payment a little bit more comfortable. And this method's becoming more popular, I'm finding. And it's through house hacking. House hacking is where you rent out part of your house, maybe a room, whether your house has a spare bedroom, an ADU, a basement, you can rent that out and significantly reduce your out-of-pocket expenses of homeownership. So, for example, your mortgage payment, let's call it $5,000 a month, you rent a room out for $1,100 a month, your effective payment's only going to be $3,900. And often that will make homeownership more affordable than renting a similar place. So, many first-time home buyers I have found to use this strategy because maybe they're already renting with a roommate anyway. The other thing about house hacking is it does give you the flexibility if you want to do this on a short-term kind of Airbnb style, you don't want someone there all the time. You could do a mid-term traveling nurses. They want contracts between like 2 to 4 months at a time, or a traditional long-term stable like 12-month or more lease for the house hacking.
House hacking is such a great idea because honestly, are you in an apartment right now and you probably already have a roommate? Maybe you have the money for the down payment, you want to buy a house. Why don't you go buy the house, bring your roommate with you because you already like them? They can pay part of your mortgage, and now your mortgage is less and you gain equity while you're at it. So if you're a renter listening and these myths sound familiar, don't let them hold you back. There is a path for home ownership for everyone. All right, let's get into the practical side of things. What are some steps that renters can take today to start preparing for home ownership?
The first step I would say would be to get a really clear picture of your financial situation. That means knowing what your estimated credit score is, understanding your income, your debt to income ratio, and figuring out how much you can afford each month for that mortgage payment. I always recommend doing this with a professional, not alone, because there's things that we know that you don't know, and we want to make this as easy of a process for you as possible. So I always recommend meeting with a mortgage broker like me early on in the process. Even if you're not ready to buy a home right now, we can help create a roadmap to get you there.
Absolutely. That's great advice. What about saving for a down payment? Any tips for making that process less daunting?
Yeah, I would say start by coming up with a savings goal based on the type of loan and the down payment that you're looking for. Remember, this does not have to be 20% down. In my discovery call with a new client, I do ask a lot of questions. I'm educating on the different types of loan programs out there that might be the best fit, and I can kind of guide you in those numbers. So some of the sources that a down payment can come from, you have your traditional checking, savings, some things you may not think about, like a brokerage account. I have some borrowers right now who are doing either a one-time 401k withdrawal or a setting up a loan where they would be paying themselves back into the 401k. I personally used gift funds for both of mine, which is something that people don't always think about. So when my husband and I bought our first house, we put 5% down. When we bought our second house, we put 10% down, and both of those were used with partial gift funds from our parents.
That is great advice. There's so many ways we can bring money in. So we don't just have to have cash in our checking account. We could ask our parents to help, or we could ask, you could even pull money from a 401k. That is genius. I did not know that. And if you're like me and you need a way to gamify it, my personal favorite game, when I was saving, I needed that cash in my checking account. I would save $5 bills. And I know it sounds super random, but I would pull cash from my grocery budget. So if my grocery budget was, I don't know, whatever, I'd pull cash for that. When I went to the store to just grab a tub of ice cream, because you need a tub of ice cream once in a while, it was $5 roughly. So I'd pull my 20 out and I'd pay. Well, then the cashier, bless her soul, would give me $3 $5 bills back instead of a 10 and a five. And when she did that, that meant all three of those fives had to go into my savings account. So instead of spending $5 on ice cream, I essentially spent $20 because 15 went into savings. That
Not a
adds
bad
up
problem
really
to have, though.
quick. No, it was worth it, but oh man, it was fun. And I had a blast with it. It was a great way to do it. And it's just a creative way to save a little bit more than the change. When I mean the quarters and the pennies, those all went in a jar too. But I mean, those took forever to add up. I'd probably get $100 every few months. But when you have to put $15 in the jar because they gave you three fives back, that adds up fast. So that was my fun little game. Hopefully, maybe someone else can take it and use it as well. So, Haley, what is the next step? Like, how do we get pre-approved? Or I think we
Yeah.
want to be pre-approved, right?
Yeah, getting pre-approved is the game changer. So there is a big difference between being pre-qualified and being pre-approved. So after that first call with a new client, I can tell them what they're pre-qualified for. This is based off of hearsay of how much income they're making, how much debt they have, but no actual evidence on paper. To be pre-approved means that we have a full loan application from someone. We've collected the necessary income, asset, credit documentation, and we can prove those numbers on paper. So, with that information, I can actually run my underwriting software, and that tells me exactly what an underwriter is going to look at for your loan. So it tells us up front what documents do we need to collect to make sure that once you get your offer accepted, we can move smoothly to the finish line. So being approved really tells you how much you can afford on paper. It also shows the sellers that you're serious and is a requirement, along with proof of funds, to be able to start putting offers in. So the other benefit of being pre-approved is it really helps to narrow your search. The last thing I want for any of my clients is for their agent to start sending them properties that they're not actually comfortable with that mortgage payment. They're not approved for it. So by dialing in the numbers, I'm working someone's pre-approval based off of what they're comfortable paying as a monthly payment. Those two kind of go hand in hand. So when I hand a client back to an agent, they're ready to start looking at properties. That way, the agent is only sending them properties that not only check off all the boxes of homes they're looking for, but also meets that monthly budget, which is one of the most important things.
Got it. So if I was pre-qualified, that'll give me an idea of what I can search for online, get a little bit of a ballpark of what I can really afford, but I couldn't actually go buy that house. I would need to be pre-approved in order to truly buy that home.
Yeah, that's what we recommend.
Fabulous. Okay. Now, let's talk about the elephant in the room, today's market. Between rising home prices, higher interest rates, and the numbers that go along with that, some renters might be wondering if now is even the right time to buy, not to mention, is it even possible? What's your perspective, Haley?
Yeah, that's a great question. And here's the thing is there's no perfect time to buy, but there are always going to be opportunities out there. So if you are renting, you're already feeling the increase of rising costs, and owning a home can give you that stability. So with a mortgage, you can lock in that principal and interest payment and protect yourself from inflation over time. Plus, I like to think of real estate as a long-term investment because historically home values go up over time. And so really the sooner you get in, the better because you are riding that wave.
Absolutely. And on that note, statistically, real estate has risen over a 10-year period since the beginning of stats being tracked for real estate. And just to give you some context, 2008, everyone knows that's when the housing market definitely took a turn. So, for context, let's say you bought in 2003, the price of a home in 2003 may have gone down substantially in 2008 compared to where it was. However, if you were able to hold that home for 10 years and you still owned it in 2013, it also increased from what you originally purchased. Historically, whenever you bought a home, if you can hold it for 10 years, you're guaranteed, based on what we've seen so far, to increase the value of your home over a 10-year period. I think it's important to remember that your first home also doesn't have to be your forever home.
Absolutely. And your first home is a stepping stone. It is about just getting into the market and building equity. Over time, you can sell that home and use the proceeds to buy something bigger, closer to that ideal dream home. Or like me, you can rent it out. I mean, we're net positive, maybe $600, $700 a month out of that house, which helped us afford this mortgage more comfortably when we got a bigger home. So there's different strategies out there, but let's put all of that future talk aside because right now that doesn't matter as much. What matters is, are you comfortable paying the mortgage payment of the property that you're buying right now? Because that's all you're going to feel. You do not feel the sale price so much. You feel that monthly payment. And that's what I help my clients to understand is, your goal is to pay this much for a mortgage. What does that translate to as sale price? And then we go from there. But in the long run, real estate is a long-term investment. And the key is to focus on what is working for you right now. That starter home, it might not check every box, but it is a huge step towards financial stability.
So true. Even if interest rates are higher right now, you also have the option to refinance later if they drop. But you cannot rewind time to buy a home at today's prices if they go up again.
Exactly. And even if that monthly payment is a bit higher than renting, even if you have to get a roommate to be comfortable with that in the beginning, you are locking in that payment and locking in that equity in the long run. So think of this as the highest you will ever have to pay for your housing expense because it doesn't go up year after year like renting does. The market will always fluctuate. The interest rates will always fluctuate every day, sometimes multiple times a day. But the action that you take right now is going to set you up for that long-term success.
So true. All right, let's leave our listeners with some actionable advice. What's your number one tip for renters looking to become homeowners?
Ooh, that's a good one. Honestly, just start the conversation. Even if you're not ready to buy tomorrow, next year, we have some clients who are on a 5-year plan, and that's okay. Talking to a mortgage broker, a real estate agent now can help you plan ahead because we know what's coming. And really, knowledge is power. The earlier you start the conversation, the more prepared you're going to be when you are ready to purchase.
That's great advice. I'll also add, focus on those small and important steps. Save what you can, improve or maintain your credit, and get pre-qualified early without that hard credit check, just to see what you can afford. Then get pre-approved when you're ready to start seriously shopping.
Exactly. And really, another tip is just don't be afraid to ask questions. I answer questions all day long, every day. And the home buying process can be very overwhelming, but that is what we are here for, is to guide you every step of the way.
I completely agree with questions. I have a rule. If you feel like a question is dumb, it's only dumb if you don't ask. So please ask. I literally answer the craziest questions every single day, and I love answering questions. So if you have a question, ask. All right, everyone, that wraps up today's episode. If you've been inspired to take the next step toward homeownership, we've got two easy ways to get started.
Yeah, if you are ready to understand your buying power, maybe see what loan options are available to you, you can book an initial discovery call with me where we will just review the basics of your finances, explore different loan programs out there, and set you up on a plan to help make that dream of home ownership become a reality. You can find that link to schedule a consultation with me in the description below.
And if you're still in the brainstorming phase and aren't quite ready for that conversation, you just want help navigating everything and just understanding what's next, book a consultation with me. Together, we'll discuss your goals, your timeline, what your next steps are, and my calendar link is also in the description below. Whether it's with me or Haley, let's start turning your dreams into reality. Thanks so much for listening today, and don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe to stay up to date with more tips on buying and selling real estate nationwide.
Thanks for having me on today, Kat, and thank you everyone for listening. I can't wait to help you take that next step towards home ownership.
We'll see you next time. And remember, you can afford to buy in today's market.